You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. John Peterson, Gordy Young from the John and Gordy in the Morning Show at WMDX in Madison, Wisconsin. We are filling in this week.
Yes, all week long for Maggie Dawn from 2 until 4. Yeah, she'll be back next Monday.
But she must have known that, you know, all this stuff would hit the fan. So she doesn't have to talk about it or give her legal opinion. You know, when I listen to her, I always, you know, love to hear the legal opinion side of what she has to talk about, you know. And and Thursday we're going to have Jim Santel in here and have the legal side.
He'll explain it all to
we
us.
We are not attorneys here. We just play them, fake ones. Sure. On the air, we act like we know everything about the law.
Yeah, things have kind of heated up the last couple of days.
Since this
email chain or the texting change.
It's a texting thing, and you know, it's Signal. It's a chat that shouldn't have gone out there, and there's a lot of different points of view on this. You know, I heard. Heard during Todd's show, you know, Bruce and Joe called in, and they both had really excellent points, and I have something to augment what they were talking about.
Really?
Yes, I actually have audio.
So the Signal chat, this was something that half a dozen of the top security people were on. Pete Hegseth was on there, and Marco Rubio, and Tulsi Gabbard. Now they're all testifying in the Senate committee this afternoon.
I think they might be done, but...
Well, they're still.
But Tulsi is
still in there.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. I see Patel there.
Well, I mean, that's from 11 a.m. this morning. But
you think so?
The whole thing here is that these guys aren't telling us anything. and Tulsi is the best out of the best.
Just dodging the questions?
She didn't answer anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you use your phone or maybe, you know, a government phone? Well, I really can't tell you because they're investigating this currently. I'm sorry. You know, I can't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, were you part of the conversation? They're investigating this. I really can't tell you anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though her initials were part of the chat.
Part of the chat. Yeah, so it appears that CNN is showing a replay of the hearing from earlier this morning right now. So they're showing the whole thing.
A lot of intelligence officials were out there, and this is a big Department of Defense blunder.
Mm.
And no one's going to lose their job. As I mentioned on our show earlier this morning, they love these people too much. They backed them to the hilt. Remember?
You know, right, I mean, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Pete Hegseth, bad choice. Really, really bad choice. And they backed them up. They stood there behind them all the way. And there's no way that they're going to be proven wrong about their pick. So they're going to keep all these people in.
Mm. And Hegseth is blaming the journalist and saying, you know, what a hack he is and all. You know, I mean, just immediately defending himself. By blaming the
messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that guy, I mean, if you saw the interview with him, he is, no wonder he's the editor of The Atlantic. He's really, really good. He's a true businessman, a great reporter, and he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to get the whole bunch
of
cuts here. I have a bunch of cuts. So,
excellent.
Do you want to get something out of the way here?
Well, I want to get our phone number out here in case anybody wants to get in touch with us. It's easy to do. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Same number that Maggie has. So if you're a Maggie Dawn listener, you know, again, we're just filling in this week. But I'd be happy to have you chime in and get your thoughts on anything that we're talking about today.
Well, you know, let's find out first, you know, what Hank thinks about people who don't protect military secrets.
Oh, okay.
No. Let's hear cut 219.
All right.
This is Pete.
Here we go.
Apparently, the standard operating procedure inside the Clinton Secretary of State office was to send emails that couldn't otherwise be printed to the maid to print them out of a secure area or from a secure area and then hand them off. Any security professional, military, government or otherwise, would be fired on the spot for this type of conduct and criminally prosecuted for being so reckless with this kind of information. The fact that she wouldn't be held accountable for this, I think, blows the mind of anyone who's held our nation's secrets dear, yeah, who's had a top secret clearance like I have and others, who know that even one hiccup causes a problem, let alone a standard procedure like this.
Yeah, there you go. See? Mm. And it was just a hiccup, you know, just a
you know, the hiccups are a tough thing.
Yeah, well, you get a hiccup, what would you call this?
You're usually going to get another hiccup. Hiccups, you're kind of contagious.
Is this an upchuck?
Upchuck or a hiccup?
Is it more than a hiccup?
Is it a guffaw?
I think
so. Could be a guffaw.
CNN aired a montage of a lot of these senior Trump officials, you know, their outrage over Hillary's emails. So let's listen to this montage. And right at the end, Hillary has a comment. Listen to cut 230.
Here we go.
If there was anyone other than Hillary Clinton, they would be in jail right now.
Nobody is above the law, not even Hillary Clinton, even though she thinks she is.
Mishandling classified information is still a violation of the Espionage Act.
When you have the Clinton emails, on top of the fact that the sitting president of the United States admitted he had documents in his garage, they didn't prosecute, they didn't go after these folks.
Hillary Clinton responded tonight with this. You have got to be kidding me.
And what a great response.
It says it all. Right?
I think it says everything, doesn't it? Now, of course, you know, Hank Seth was asked about, you know, the reporter who got this at The Atlantic. The editor, pretty important guy, pretty responsible guy, in fact. But, you know, Hank Seth had to attack the messenger. And this is cut 227.
Talking about Jeffrey Goldberg.
Yes, yes, okay. Jeffrey Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the, I don't know, the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine
that wasn't
people
a hoax.
On both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign. Because of the skill and courage of our troops, I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. Yeah. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Just stay on topic. Just stay on topic.
try to focus.
Yeah. He can't focus at all.
No, they're not going to do
a little high or something. Who knows, right?
Not going to admit anything. No.
Well, right? And of course, CNN reporter Jamie Gangel?
Yeah, Jamie Gangel. She's been there a long time, CNN. Yeah.
And she had a comment about this, so this is cut 220. Let's listen.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I
just want to say I've spoken to two very high-ranking former intelligence officials, both of whom worked for Republicans, and they both said that they were stunned, along with everybody else, that there is no defense that this could have happened and that someone should be fired. So let me just give you a couple of quotes. I asked, would you ever set up communication like this on a commercial app? Absolutely not. There's secure video conferencing. This is not the way it's done. Quote, they broke every procedure known to man about protecting operational material before a military strike. The lack of operational security and stupidity is just stunning.
That's what it's all about. Jamie Gengel. Right?
That's it. Yes.
Oh, yeah, the accent there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at French. I'm not. In fact, we got a little French coming up later on, a French lesson. So
we do?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
We do. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that on the outline.
Well, I'm hiding
you
it from
so.
You.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Adam Kinzinger came out with a very good comment. I think Bruce was talking about this. He called from, I can't remember where he called from. Mezo? No.
Mm-hmm.
Stoughton, I believe, yes. Anyway.
On Todd's show?
Yeah, on Todd's show. Yeah, just recently, and this is Cut 231. Again, Adam Kinzinger, and worried about Russia in this case. Let's listen. Okay.
So I saw Olga Lautman on Twitter. She did a timeline and basically came to the conclusion that Steve Witkoff was apparently in Moscow when he was added to this group chat, when he was added to the Signal chat. Now, if that's the case, you have to believe, and we were told this every time we traveled to hostile nations, that they will be monitoring your chats. They'll be monitoring your what you do on your phone while you're there. And also, Russia was spying on Ukrainians in their military by exploiting a loophole in Signal. So this very well may not be a victimless crime. It's very possible that Russia had access to this through Steve Witkoff. So this is, it's obviously terrible.
Of course it's terrible.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
And of course, they found that loophole Signal, and they were, eavesdropping on Ukraine.
Mm.
So this is a big deal. And, obviously you'd have to imagine that they were monitoring any kind of phone service out of Russia at the time, right?
Well, yes, and all the intelligence officers, all the agencies, they have secure ways of communicating with each other. They don't need something like Signal, consumer app, to talk to each other.
Exactly.
So what they were doing on there in the first place, that seems to be a question.
Just to kind of let everybody know, I actually work for the federal government.
Yeah.
I work for the Census Bureau.
Right.
And everything is very, very, very secure behind passwords.
You have special laptops
and
that you
numbers.
Use, right?
Yeah. Well, we have a little gizmo that we wear around our neck normally, and it changes its numbers every 15 or 20 seconds. And you have to enter that code into your laptop in order to log in and get access to it. So, yes. We are very secure in the federal government.
Okay,
very, very secure.
You better not reveal any more secret information from the
feds. Well, we're going to reveal the emojis that were used.
Oh, really?
Yes, during this chat. So we've got that coming up next.
Mm-hmm, that's coming up. And also a little bit later on, in about a half hour, we'll talk to the Hunger Task Force from Milwaukee. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. John and Gordy in the morning filling in the afternoon all this week. And we hope you're having a very, very spirited afternoon after all the things that are happening in this wonderful government that we are watching fall apart.
We're monitoring the progress or lack of it.
And of course, we started our little bedtime for democracy story earlier, and we are continuing here. We've got just a wonderful piece here. This is from Jared Moskowitz,
mm-hmm.
who's a representative, and He put it all on one card, everything he wanted to say on just one card. It was the three emojis.
Oh, yes, the three emojis.
The fist, the flag, and the flame.
Okay. Let's get to that in just a second. Let me just remind everybody that what the phone number is, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We have Mark on the line. We'll get to Mark in just a second, but continue with the emoji thing. I think this is kind of interesting.
This is a fun game that they played at the hearing.
A game?
Well, you'll understand. He had a card and he had these three emojis on it.
Right.
And this is cut 232. Let's check it out.
Okay.
Jared.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's always good, like when we have something that's bipartisan, to point it out because it happens so little around here anymore. But rather than giving like a really big, long speech, I feel like I could just use this, and this will tell you that I think it's good, right? So like that's a fist, American flag, fire. So I'll just, from now on, when we do things where, like, we agree, I'll just hold this up rather than giving, like, a really big, long speech. So job well done, guys.
Would the gentleman yield?
Sure, I'll yield.
But I'm not sure everybody recognizes the reference there. Would you explain where that comes from?
Yeah, so this is how when we're in, like, a chat with friends, right, where we're, like, having a casual chat about, like, where we're dropping missiles.
Are you talking about a public chat room?
Yeah. But, like, and with friends, and we're just, like, you know, hamming about who we're going to bomb and all of that, but we agree, we fist American flag fire. So I'm holding this up. I think we could just keep the committee shorter if, like, when we agree, we just hold this up.
Yeah. No, I think you're supposed to have the flexed arm instead of the fist.
No, it was just, it was just the fist. What signal chat are you in?
But that's it.
Oh, boy.
That's great stuff, isn't it? That's Jamie Raskin playing off of Jared's little card there with the emojis on it.
Nice. Very nice.
You got to add some levity to this whole thing, you know? Yeah. I mean, as serious as it is, and you know the administration not going to do a damn thing about it. They love these people that they put in place. They can't be wrong. Their choices are perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Josh Hawley was interviewed, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I think we first should get to Dick. Is that right?
Actually, it's Mark.
Oh, it's Mark. Okay.
On the line from Prairie du Sac this afternoon. Good afternoon, Mark. Go ahead with your call.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I get a little tired of Pete Hegseth acting like the Biden administration didn't take any action at all against the Houthis, because I actually went back and looked it up, and I saw a whole year's worth of airstrikes and missile strikes and drone strikes against the Houthis during 2024. I mean, he's acting like we didn't take any action against them at all during the Biden administration, and we certainly did. I mean, the people don't remember this stuff. He can, mull this stuff up there to give, you know, Trump all this credit for all this stuff. But this SOB screwed up. Somebody should have noticed that other name sitting on there. And actually having somebody in Moscow actually in on this conversation.
Yes.
For God's sakes, unless the guy is working out of the embassy, you know, where there may be a secure line going in and out. But to go after something that's not really hardened, because on this single chat or whatever the heck it is, apparently the stuff information goes away after a certain period of time. How many other times did this happen where somebody was included on these text messages or whatever the heck, these messages, and shouldn't have been, because that information is now gone?
It is.
Exactly. It
is.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good point about the work that was done prior in the Biden administration. That was a very important time. So let's get to Josh Hawley's response. He was asked about this, his response is classic stuff. Let's listen. It's cut 226.
Listen, I mean, we don't know how much of this is accurate or not, but it looks like even if everything the Atlantic reported is true, it's the president's advisors discussing among themselves options they might recommend to the president. And nobody can deny the success of what the president is doing here, which is what Pete Hegseth just underscored. And this is what the leftist media is reduced to. They can't argue with the policies, which the American people support. They can't argue with this new demonstration of American strength that is keeping Americans safe at home and abroad. Now we're griping about who's on a text message and who's not. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, come on. You know, just ignore this whole thing that that happened. How about this? This is very interesting, and this answers a lot of questions. The part that people are missing is that they're doing official communications on Signal to avoid those communications being retained. They're in Project 2025 training videos that specifically recommended this type of thing as a way to avoid subpoenas. Our government is using third-party software to and top secret levels of communication in avenues that do not retain data. They can stage a total takeover of the U.S. government, and there will be no evidence through any official channels that they did this.
Well, that puts a whole different spin on it, doesn't it?
Kind of a huge spin, right?
So they're purposely using this. Yes. Because the messages disappear.
You're right. They have a time limit on these messages, so everything disappears. And this was planned in Project 2025, which we talked ad nauseum about on this program.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Project 2025 rolling out.
Yeah, absolutely. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Hansen. He's from the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee, and lots to talk about with some federal funding being cut from some of these hunger programs.
Right,
and
a hunger
food
program
banks.
In Milwaukee and one right here in Madison. So,
yeah. We're going to be talking with, again, Jonathan Hansen. That's coming up. You can get on the line, and we'll get to more calls after the break. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young filling in for Maggie Dawn. On the Maggie Dawn Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
To the Maggie Dawn Show, John and Gordy in the morning and the afternoon, and it is a beautiful, pleasant afternoon here in Madison. I'm wondering about everybody up north. You know, they had a lot of snow up there, two
they
or
still
three
have
feet. You know,
snow on the ground. Yeah.
Brittany Merlot built a little snowman.
Civic Media meteorologist. Yes.
Hate to say what she did to that snowman. Not good. Not good at all.
What are you insinuating?
I don't know, just use your imagination.
Phone lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You know, I wish we could have put a stake through the heart of that last story.
Why do you say that?
You know, this is just filling the media. You know, all of the guesses, all of the frightening comments about releasing top secret information. And making it available to the Russians at this point, right?
Yeah, right.
And then, of course, carrying out Project 2025. It's their plan to use public apps in order to have these messages disappear automatically. They just get rid of the messaging. And therefore, whatever the government does is not on record.
Yeah.
We can't call them on it.
Exactly.
And, you know, we were warned about this with Project 2025, which, by the way, oddly, Trump did not know anything about. Isn't that just amazing?
He's clueless.
I don't know. I fell for that. No, I didn't. No, I didn't fall for that. But you never know, you know? And so the big other story is winding through the courts right now, and that is the deportation of anybody in this country that the administration doesn't like. They're deported. And they don't have a say. They don't have their day in court. So what we're going to take a look at here is a Daily Show segment that talks about these violent deportations. So let's check it out. It's cut 181, and we'll listen in on their interpretation of the deportations.
I will have that up in 1 second. You said
all
it.
All right, sure.
Repeat the number for me one more time.
Okay, that is 281.
There you
281.
Go. We got that.
I've not seen it.
Please stand by. 284, didn't you say?
No, it's 281.
281.
281, oh. Yep.
Okay.
Not there?
We're still scanning. Okay.
All right.
In the meantime. Yes.
Yes.
Calvin, I sent you that that other email that we were talking about during the break there, so we'll check on that with Jonathan Hansen.
That's right.
The Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. We hope to talk to him in just a few minutes, as soon as we can make that connection.
I think it'd be good maybe just to take a look at the funding that was cut here in Madison.
Okay, yeah.
Let's take a look at that. This is funding cuts because, get this, they're cutting this program. This is for lunch in schools, and they're hurting farmers doing it. This is because of DEI, if you can even imagine what. What DEI? This is cut 215. Let's play this. This is cut 215. Shared food is canceled now because the government thinks it's wasteful.
Okay.
Channel 15.
Madison-based nonprofit is now out $500,000 amidst sweeping cuts to federal funding.
This letter serves as written notification that the subject agreement between the USDA Agricultural Marketing Service and FairShare CSA Coalition is terminated as of
in an email, FairShare CSA Coalition Executive Director Rachel Maysells found out that a $500,000 federal grant had been canceled.
It's shocking to be awarded a grant and feel the lack of support from the USDA when it's for small farmers and for eaters of healthy food.
The reason to revoke diversity, equity, and inclusion.
People want to be able to have access to healthy food no matter what your beliefs are.
The funding was for expanding community-supported agriculture, or CSA. People purchase a share of a farm's produce in advance in exchange for boxes of fresh food throughout the growing season. Sarah Leong is a board member of Fair Share and also runs Squashington Farms in Mount Horeb, a small-scale, certified organic CSA and market farm serving roughly 150 CSA members.
There's a lot of confusion and just lack of information and transparency as to what's going to happen.
She says they're now scrambling for new funding.
It was just a wave of shock and heartbreak.
Having to make committee layoffs, pause marketing resources, educational programming, and research. An unstable future for farming.
People are going to need a lot of help.
Deeply rooted in community.
Pretty good. I mean, good coverage.
Yeah.
Great coverage by Channel 15 in Madison.
Right.
And another program that they just thought was wasteful, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. A lot of this stuff really doesn't have to be eliminated. You know, they don't have to cancel this stuff.
Right.
There wasn't a crying need for it. People wanted cheaper eggs.
Yeah.
Cheaper bacon. Well, at least Trump wanted cheaper bacon. I don't know anybody else who was complaining about bacon. But then, you know, gas prices. Now gas prices are high simply because of the change in the fuel quality.
Right. They changed the formula in springtime. Yeah. But actually, they started to drop again yesterday and today. They're back to where they were.
So, great. Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is canceled because of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Don't know why, how they reasoned that out.
Yeah, what's
they think
the
maybe,
logic there?
What, minorities might have availability to all of this food, you know, this good food? I would think so. But, you know, let's talk about DEI. Do we have anybody on the
line? I think
we're
just connecting with Jonathan Hansen from the Hunger of Food Network.
All right.
Let's see, once we get everything straightened around here. So let's give him another minute here.
Yeah, I've got something from Pete Buttigieg. He dissected what DEI really means, and he said it in a group that is very undecisive about the Democrats at the time. This is on a channel, on YouTube channel, Jubilee. And it's usually one person takes on 20 people who oppose them.
Right.
And this is Pete Buttigieg appealing to these people when he talked about DEI. Let's listen to cut 211. This is cut 211. And this Pete Buttigieg describing DEI the way I think everybody should think of it.
So it's become kind of a buzzword. And like most buzzwords, like socialism or a lot of other things get thrown around in the debate. The more it gets thrown around, the less meaning it feels like it has sometimes, right? So I think it means different things for different people. Actually, if you want to see kind of one of the clearest expressions of the case against DEI, which I strongly disagree with, Jubilee did something with Ben Shapiro, who's a conservative thinker.
That's the first time I heard it.
Okay, so he was attacking it in a way that I think was mistaken, and I'll tell you a little bit of why. First of all, I mean, DEI stands for diversity, equity, inclusion, right? So to me, we start by thinking, okay, what's the opposite of those things? The opposite of diversity is uniformity, right? Mm-hmm. The opposite of equity is inequity. And the opposite of inclusion is exclusion. And I don't know a lot of people who think we'd be better off if our lives had more uniformity, inequity,
exactly,
and exclusion, right? But I think that the part of why people have questions about it that I respect is they're not sure if this is, they're worried about fairness, right? So to me, when you talk about some of these policies, the idea is to make sure everybody gets a seat at the table, especially if you know there have been systematic ways of keeping people from getting a seat at the table over the years, sometimes based on their race, on their religion, on their income, on their background, any number of reasons, sexuality, right? Like a lot of different reasons. And it's about making sure that what we do going forward is fair. So, and this can be an economic issue too. You look at something like redlining. A lot of homeowners, families, would-be homeowners, especially black families, couldn't get homes in certain neighborhoods where the property value started to go up. So even if that happened to a family, I don't know, 50 years ago, their kids are living with the consequences of that now. Because their family has less wealth because they were kept out of a neighborhood where property values were growing,
right?
And so part of it's the idea that some of these things may have started a long time ago. Maybe nobody alive today is responsible for some of the injustice that has shaped what it's like to live in this country, right? If somebody describes it in a way that makes it seem like somebody's getting an unfair advantage and you're not, you're going to be pissed off about that, right?
Right, somebody is.
And I think, by the way, I think that's part of the story he's trying to tell. He's trying to say, you're better off because somebody else, or you're worse off because somebody else is better off.
Right,
that's right. To me, the whole point of government is to find ways to make more people better off without making people worse off.
Right.
I think good policy does that.
Right.
But he wants it zero sum.
That's right. And, you know, eliminating these programs,
right,
making other people worse off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people worse off. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We got Joe on the line.
Yes, Joe is with us. Go ahead with your call, Joe.
Hey, guys. It's really fun to hear you in the afternoon. Todd had described you John and Gordy after dark, and I thought that would be a nice t-shirt, wouldn't it?
I like
that. We'd really have to stay up late for that, but,
Yeah, well, 2 o'clock would be after dark for you guys, which I think is wonderful. And I think there's also a great opportunity to use that coffee man that you have, who's constantly screaming about needing coffee, you know, because certainly by this point in the day, you guys need coffee. But I just wanted to make 2 points. I had also called Todd's show to talk about this situation with Hegseth and the wackadoodle way they've been dealing with that, and the tie to the Steve Wyckoff, who was in Russia during that time, and it's just like, did you put your phone back in the hotel or what? What are the points that people made about all this? Since they were doing this on a phone with the signal rather than going into a skiff, you know, someplace that's secured, and you can't bring phones into a skiff. The deal is, you know, that's not, you can't have classified material go that way. Somebody pointed out, what if they, since they were working with phones and signal, what if they had lost their phone? Or what if they missed, you know, somebody stole their phone?
Right.
I mean, here's a simple way that things could have gone wrong. And I really enjoyed Pete Hegseth and his lines talking about how this never happened and that Goldberg was a deceitful man who had been discredited. And at the same time, the White House and the National Security Council came out and said, it really did happen. We're really sorry about that, you know, and there were screenshots from the reporters. So here is this guy bad-mouthing the reporter when he is just lying on his, just lying like a rug, you know.
Yeah.
The reporter is deceitful. No, and he said, we didn't text war plans. Clearly you did. You texted plans that included the time, it included
with the bombing included the sequence of events, and it included locations. What are we missing here that's not part of a war plan? So at any rate, I think that we've just started with this, and you're going to need a lot of coffee to get through this, guys. So I would suggest doubling up.
Well, I know. I had to pull myself away from the computer because I kept finding cut after cut after cut. I wanted more stories. More in-depth looks at this this debacle. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
Joe, thank you for that call. Yeah. We have now made the connection here with Jonathan Hansen. He is with the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. Thank you for joining us here this afternoon, Jonathan. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate being here.
So tell us a little bit about the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee and how some of these federal cuts are affecting what you do and what your mission is. Can you give us a little overview?
Hunger Task Force is Milwaukee's free and local food bank, and we are also Wisconsin's anti-hunger leader. So we take the unique mission of working to not only feed people today through a network of food pantries, soup kitchens, homeless shelters, different food pantry partners across the state, but we also actively advocate to end hunger in our communities through strong federal nutrition programs. That includes programs like Food Share here in Wisconsin. School meal programs, WIC, senior nutrition programs, all those programs that help people purchase food, put food on the table, and lift them out of poverty. These are all programs that we focus on as an organization and want to make sure are very strong to keep people healthy and to keep our neighbors fed.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we finally got the connection with you. We're up against a break here, so stay with us, Jonathan, and we'll continue with you in just a moment. It's John Agordi filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back with Jonathan Hansen from the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee in just a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Mm-hmm. John and Gordy filling in this week. And we hope you're entertained at least by some of what we've talked about here. Mm-hmm. Even though it is devastating and it's the end of our country, we still have to, you know, just kind of laugh. Laugh it off.
Well, we're here to hold your hand.
That's it.
If you'd like to call us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're back with Jonathan Hansen from the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. We were just getting started with him. And
Jonathan, we played something as we were trying to get a hold of you, and this is from Channel 15 here. They covered Fair Share was canceled because of the $500,000 grant that they were going to get. Is that a similar program as yours?
Yeah, the LFPA program, it stands for the Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. This is a federal program that Hunger Task Force administered here in Wisconsin in partnership with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And the whole purpose of this project is to fund organizations like Hunger Task Force who use the funds to purchase healthy foods from Wisconsin farmers, Wisconsin food producers, and use those local foods to feed hungry families in our communities here in Wisconsin. So it's a great program that really has two main goals. It's to feed the hungry, and it's to support our local agriculture.
Is this something that costs an awful lot of money for the farmers to do or for these organizations to do that they need the federal funding, or is there a way to avoid federal funding altogether eventually?
Well, the grant amount that Hunger Task Force awarded last year was $250,000. And so in the grand scheme of the, you know, the Farm Bill budget and the money that flows through our state agriculture, these are smaller grants, but yet they are targeted at small to mid-sized farms. So they have a tremendous impact and are very important for the farmers who are recipients of the funding and who we purchase from, whether that's fruit and vegetables, fish, or meat. These have a very high impact on, like I said, not only hungry people, but also our local food economies.
Now, I'm looking at your excellent website here, Jonathan, hungertaskforce.org, and all the different programs that you offer and what you do. Tell us a little bit about some of these. I know you're involved with the WIC program, the Women, Infants, and Children program, but you have a lot of other things going on, like the food bank and some advocacy programs. So give us a little bit more about what you do there and who you help.
Yeah, as an anti-hunger organization, Hunger Task Force administers a whole bevy of different programs that both feed people as well as work to actively end future hunger. So our food bank and our farm here at Hunger Task Force are two great examples of programs where we are delivering free of charge healthy and nutritious food to local food pantries, meal sites, and shelters, not only here in Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin, but through partners across the state through the Hunger Relief Federation. But we also work very actively as anti-hunger advocates, and we promote strong policies for programs like WIC or programs like the Food Share program in Wisconsin that help people put food on the table. The LFPA program was an example of really both of that we advocated for that program. We administered it last year on behalf of the state, and it fed a lot of families. We connected with over 114 different organizations in 29 counties across the state as part of this program. And it helped feed families in those communities, and it supported those local farmers and those local food producers. And it's a program that we hoped would stick around, but unfortunately that was not the case.
Well, it's very unusual. It almost catches you by surprise. I mean, when you think of the small amount of money that this is and how many people benefit from it, and it keeps the farmers in business, it keeps the schools healthy, it keeps the food banks filled. I mean, all of this is, it seems so needless. Have you heard anything? Is there any chance that any of this funding will eventually be taken care of in the future? I mean, I know they do this stuff. They stop funding right away, but then they backtrack and they may fill this in some way, shape, or form. Any word on that? Anything from the government on this?
Well, we certainly hope that will be the case in the long run. As of right now, the program has been canceled, but this is a program that Hunger Task Force will continue to advocate for and that we will continue to support in lieu of the federal funding. A lot of these farmers, especially the vegetable producers that we were planning on working with in 2025 here, had already had their crops and seedlings in the ground when this was announced. So we've made some commitments to some of those vegetable farmers to continue to purchase their product this year to keep them whole and to keep their businesses strong. But yes, this is certainly an example of a program that it has a tremendous impact for many people in our state, our economy, those facing hunger, and Hunger Task Force, as well as partners across the state, will continue to make sure that a voice is heard, that these programs are important and they have real impact.
We just have a couple of minutes here, Jonathan. You're always, I imagine, looking out or looking for volunteers, right? If people want to help out, how can they do that?
We are a 100% community-supported organization here at Hunger Task Force. 100% of our budget comes from local donors. We are supported by 15,000 volunteers annually who help us pack boxes, grow food at our farm here in Milwaukee County. And last but not least, they advocate for us. You can join our Voices Against Hunger group that helps people speak up and support programs like the Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program or the SNAP program or school meals. Whatever your interest is, whether it's kids, whether it's seniors, if you want to help feed families, Hunger Task Force and our network is a great way to help.
Excellent.
Your website again is?
HungerTaskForce.org.
Jonathan Hansen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, hang in there.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Very good. Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee, quite an organization there. We will be back with more on the Maggie Dawn Show. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young filling in this afternoon. Still taking your calls. You can call us during the break here, too. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. 752-4842. We will be back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.